Hi, everyone. Welcome back to NymFed Alumni. I'm Alexi, and I'm here with Sam and Biz. And this week, we are taking stock of the club. The club is so integral to human social life. But in recent years, there's been kind of a reckoning and a lot of negativity about the future of clubbing and the future of nightlife. It's gotten untenably expensive. The cost of living is a mess and a disaster, as we know. It's bringing out all of the insecurities about the social abilities of young people and, you know, kind of fanning the flames of the gender war, the battle of the sexes. And also, you know, what are we even supposed to wear to the club? It seems like all of the codes have been dissolving and there's just a lot of confusion. So we are here to analyze the situation and to go straight to the heart of darkness of the club. And we've been doing a lot of research, like going to the club and evaluating the reality and interviewing club goers and really trying to figure out, you know, like, is clubbing over? Can that really be true? Can it come back? Yeah.
Our fieldwork has gleaned very interesting insights. And I think both me and Alexi were at a club of sorts last night, actually. So this is all very fresh in our minds. And I think it's also a lot of the observations that we're going to be discussing today are related to episodes we've done previously, like the alt print and the silly episode. This is kind of a consolidation of some of the hypotheses that we presented in those episodes. But yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe we could start with one of the most prominent club-related events that happened in popular culture as of late, which, you know, this might be like kind of cringy to talk about at the extent that we want to talk about it, but it's just like very interesting. You know, I feel like we can make a lot of really interesting observations surrounding it, but the TikTok Riz party, of course. We're letting y'all know we fuck with the TikTok Riz party, unfortunately, but yeah, that was a really interesting event post-silly episode where we were kind of predicting men reorganizing their social groups in order to become more kind of closed to the female world. I feel like the TikTok Riz party and its over-articulation and its over-analysis really spoke to that. But yeah, what are you guys' thoughts on this occurrence, this historical moment in our time?
We love it. I feel like the silliness of it. I mean, I showed it to my sister who's not on TikTok and she was dying. Like, she thought it was so funny and she was like, I need to get back on TikTok. But I guess
relapsing.
Yeah, she was relapsing. It caused her to relapse and I don't think that many things would. But yeah, for those who may not also be on TikTok, like my sister, the TikTok Riz party is basically a series of viral content that was kind of unexpectedly viral that was posted by, as I think, a party production company that filmed these boys that are, I think, around 15 to 16 at Jillian's Sweet 16. And they're in a circle dancing to the hip hop song Carnival and chanting. And like Sam said, there's been crazy layers of analysis on group dynamics of each member and their role, and there's been a lot of like twists and turns and basically character arcs, who's the hero, who's the villain, and that reversing. But yeah, I think we all really liked it a lot. Like, I actually was really smiling when you guys sent me new videos to watch.
I mean, it's just such an amazing exercise in like how much can be extrapolated from like so little. Like, there really is not much that happens in these videos. Like, it's like a 30-second clip of this group of teenage boys dancing, but somehow it's been likened to like Lana Del Rey songs and Dune and Sylvia Plath and
the fig tree.
The fig tree was crazy. we should link all of our favorites, but the like meaning making that happened, not to sound super critical theory about it, because I feel like that would be so annoying, but I was like genuinely so impressed by the level of complexity that came out of it and like the level of actual emotions that I was feeling, because it was like beyond irony. Like, I started to feel such a genuine affection for everyone involved, and like the whole exercise was really hopecore for me. There's also a second video that came up of them dancing to I Just Wanna Rock, and that one stars this kid whose real name is Mike Amato, but everyone calls him Turkish Quandale Dingle. And he's like dancing and sticking his tongue out, and like the like reading of every micro expression and every like glance. And, you know, it makes me think that there's like an art historical kind of like,
oh yeah,
tendency that I was like, the kids are able to look at images and devise some like really amazing stuff out of it.
I wasn't going to talk about it on this episode, but I was really struck by something that Ryan said on the last episode where she was discussing, we were all discussing passive versus active internet consumption and how TikTok is so trend-based and based around repetition, and getting big on there is about kind of like participating in the larger trend. And something that I was like realizing as she was saying that, I didn't get a chance to say it, but because we have sort of like a monolith of larger narratives on TikTok, I think the things that like, and there's no novelty specifically, like novelty isn't often introduced into TikTok. It's like a repetition of old trends. The novelty that's introduced is like micro expressions and micro movements and very small, minute details in a video. That's kind of like a repetition of like something else. So it's like you're just overanalyzing the same video over and over again. So it's like a really interesting thing. And like, yeah, it was very striking like how universally applicable the TikTok Riz party was. It's literally probably 4 or 5, 10 to 15 second clips of teenage boys dancing, you know, and it was very much like universal experience, I think, in America of going to homecoming and behaving in this manner.
I saw the initial reactions. Like there were a few days where they were like really getting roasted, and like it hadn't gotten to a stage of like, you know, the weird kind of like fanfic shipping, like,
yeah,
stuff. Like everyone was just like, this is so goofy, like they should be so embarrassed.
Yeah, that's how it went viral initially, was because people thought it was so embarrassing. I thought that was an interesting part though as well, was how it initially became popular because everyone was making fun of it and really judging these kids. But then obviously we saw a twist and now it's like a really beloved phenomenon. But then it just reminds me of a lot of, I guess, how, just how people act on TikTok generally, especially with, I think, young people, maybe not young people, but I'm thinking of JoJo Siwa, to be honest. Just like how she was really hated for being this like excessively cheerful but overgrown kid star, and then she became like a queer icon. Now people hate her again.
And I think people are starting to like her again too, because I see a bunch of like gay irony TikToks, yeah, of people dancing to Karma's a Bitch. Like I think like Bob the Drag Queen has made it like a whole thing.
Yeah, she's entered the troll canon.
Yeah.
Like the Jaffe, like she's entered the Gag City or whatever, Flop Tropica Island. I think it's like what caused the transition from like cringe to like we actually love these guys and like are so endeared by them was the involvement of like women / girls. Like it's kind of giving woman as the future of man, because like I think the people who were making fun of the boys were like mostly other boys, so, like just from what I could read in the comments, and it seemed like all of the edits, I don't know, like the people who are making these like dramatic edits to like Faye Webster songs, like they have to be girls. There's no way guys are making that.
I have kind of a two-pronged thing regarding that, where first of all, I'm probably not going to touch on it in this episode because it's too long and complex and irrelevant in some ways, but I would recommend listeners to check out The Gervais Principle by Venkatesh Rao, which is a really interesting like several part essay on the office and kind of like the hierarchical structure of a corporate firm. It's abstractly related to the TikTok Riz party and that like Turkish Kwantil Dingle became the protagonist of the story when originally he was kind of a loser. And Venkatesh Rao kind of breaks down like how oftentimes like in a hierarchical structure, the loser, like the bottom tier, will get fast tracked to the highest tier and kind of cross all like middling levels of hierarchy. But I think that's like kind of an interesting analysis. But when it comes to like the girls,
the female gaze,
the female gaze, I thought that was interesting related to the club because of some developments I feel like have been underway with the vibes during like what I guess like my personal attendance at the club. I've noticed this. I've heard people kind of talk about this, but not super directly, where it feels like almost like a straight male dominated space for the first time in human history. Like the club was always a space for girls and gay guys to kind of rule. Like, that was probably one of the only places in society where there was like a dictatorship of women and gay guys.
Yeah, it's like they have all the social capital, I feel like, in that situation.
Exactly. They're the queens of the jungle, you know. But suddenly it feels like there's been some sort of role reversal, because when women and gay guys ruled the club was a place where picking up women for one night stands was like the main kind of like purpose of them. Like, I think men used to be pickup artists. They used to go to the club to like fulfill their hunter instincts, much like that meme of women love shoplifting because it reconnects them with their gatherer instincts type thing, where it's like men used to really treat clubbing seriously as like a statistical analysis, like sociology, like pickup artistry thing, where it doesn't feel like they're doing that anymore. They're not going to the club to pick up women. They're going to the club to have fun with each other. And I think that was really evident with the way that the TikTok Riz party was being analyzed. Not that they, you know, they're in high school, so it's like this is not fully applicable to the modern club, but I feel like men turned from pickup artistry to homo social entrepreneurs via hustle culture, and women are the new pickup artists. And I think like,
that's so funny.
Like, we play into this because I feel like all pickup artist content is targeting women now, like learn to seduce a rich man. And men, all they care about is getting rich, because they figure if they get rich, women will come to them, right? The majority of the content about that is male targeted on the internet is about, you know, we've seen it, like the Grindset stuff where it's like trading, crypto, financial literacy, investment guides. So, and I feel like that type of content encourages men to think about like homosocial hierarchical bonding way more than they think about like female psychology and like trying to like play that in order to like pick up women. You know what I mean?
That's definitely real. It's also, yeah, it has a real like men going their own way vibe, because I think men were probably under a lot of pressure in these environments to like impress women and like hunt them down. But now when they like show up in packs with other men, I think it really takes the edge off. Yeah. And they're like, you know, we don't really need anyone else. It's like, why are they giving single ladies? It's like,
I know. Just be a man.
It's so funny that you said hunting though, because this is my like Korean anecdote. Like, hunting bars is like what they're really called in Korea. Like, so, oh, wow. Like singles bars, I guess. And the way that the like hunting is done is really formalized. And it's really crazy because like when Korean idols or actors are spotted going into these places, it's explicitly understood that they are like seeking a one night stand. So like doing nightlife there is a lot more loaded.
It's like more transactional.
Yeah.
I also saw online a lot of people using the word bop, which reminds me of this.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, once again, guys, for those who don't know, bop is just like a girl who's kind of a thought, to use millennial terms. But that is also used in a really loaded context, because it kind of relates to, Sam, what you're saying of like girls who are really trying to get attention of guys like online or in the club. And then the second thing I wanted to say is that I pulled out the Mark Fisher for this episode, and I'm going to quote it, but he writes a good bit about like Drake specifically in his music writings. And he writes about Marvin's Room. And I was listening to Marvin's Room earlier to put myself in the mood while I was reading this. And I saw, even in the comments, the song is so old now. It's like over 10 years old. But people were like, boys, like, if you feel like this, you just got to focus on yourself. Like, keep your head up, keep going, that sort of thing. So I saw them basically doing that behavior in the YouTube comment section, like male fraternity grind set. Which I thought was really interesting to see play out there.
It's so funny because Drake and Marvin's Room in particular, which is like this tale of, like, he's talking a lot about drinking and going out and meeting women, but with this like melancholic tone that's like, obviously I just want to be with one woman, but I'm like still doing this nightlife shit because I'm like addicted. He's such like a Kendall Roy-esque figure. And I was thinking about Succession too, because I was like, I feel like what happened with Succession is also the same thing that happened to TikTok Riz Party, where like there's this really unassuming piece of content that's like guys wearing suits and like being around each other that has no obvious ties to femininity, but like something about the emotional undertones like makes women go crazy.
Yeah.
It does seem like there's a serious
there's a serious crisis amongst the genders right now. And it's really interesting because I don't think we've ever been in, whereas I think like a lot of places where women have power is like in the sexual realm, right? And in the romantic realm. And it feels like, honestly, like a little odd that it feels that they're losing some sort of sexual capital in spaces that are usually designated as places where men go to pursue them, you know, where it's like women in pursuit of men and like their emotional worlds. I feel like we'll keep an eye on this. I feel like this is definitely going to develop into something.
I feel like a lot of it just has to do with like risk appetite. Like people are just less willing to take risks. And like, I was on Reddit looking at all of these like threads of people that were like, how do I go out and make friends? Essentially trying to like figure out where people are like starting from, like what's their starting point and understanding like how they're approaching going out. And it's such like a conundrum when it comes to the approach of like meeting new people, because there are these threads of girls being like, just go out to a bar by yourself. And then they're like, well, I feel like a loser. And then they're like, just wait for a guy to talk to you. But then other girls are being like, any guy that approaches you is probably a douchebag. Like guys who like approach girls and like try to pick them up are losers. So you have to go talk to them. But then they're like, I don't want to do that. That's scary. Like, I'm just not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, risk aversion. That probably is true. Another Gen Z risk aversion thing.
Yeah, because getting rejected is like obviously the worst thing ever.
The thing is like, I think that was the core of pickup artistry in the 2000s, especially with things like The Game and like The Art of Seduction, was that kind of picking up people is like a statistical thing where you just have to keep shooting your shot and eventually you're going to get it. Like that's, I think, the thesis of a lot of these things. And it's really funny because I think Robert Greene content specifically was like really popular during that era of like pickup artistry, like The Art of Seduction. But now all the Robert Greene content I see is 48 Laws of Power related. So I think that really kind of speaks to, we've moved out of like power relations in the sexual marketplace and moved into power relations in like the homo social marketplace, where it's like, I feel like women are overanalyzing like girls, girl, like what women do in order to like belong to the larger group and identify as women. And men are kind of overanalyzing the hierarchical roles of like a male friend group.
Being the group leader, yeah.
I saw in the notes, Sam, when you used the word homo social, I was so amazed because I was reading about this and
homosociality.
Yeah. So basically he talks, like I said, he writes about Kanye and Drake, and he basically sees them, I'll just quote him here, as like how they expose the madness and sadness deep within the cyber pleasure dome, which sounds kind of thick, but when you read it, it's actually interesting. But there's like been such, I guess, big shift in feminism since the 2000s as well, which I think Fisher was trying to pin to some of these changes and how rappers rap, basically what they're singing about, how they act. And there's a couple quotes that I liked about how they're kind of like, yes, stuck in this in-between phase of objectifying women, but then not knowing how to reconcile that with like changing attitudes. And one quote was, women are to be publicly disdained, treated as currency in a homosocial bragging economy. In private, they are asked to make these wounded men whole again, which is actually him talking about Marvin's Room and the phone call scenario there. And then one other one that I really liked, and this is, like I said, like quite specifically about rap, so it's obviously not going to apply to like every guy at the club, but this is about Drake. His bewilderment about what a man is supposed to be now is the very hallmark of a contemporary heterosexual masculinity that realizes that the patriarchal game is up, but which is too hooked on the pleasures and privileges to relinquish them yet. Just one more click on the porn, then I'll be Mr. Sensitive forever. Yeah, I thought that was cool. Just thinking about like how, I guess, yeah, we've seen these social changes where I guess it even relates to what you were saying, Alexi, about like how girls, you know, are out in the club as well. And they don't know if they should, if a guy who's coming up to them is like a creep or not, or if it's like normal. And it's like, I don't think people know how to act in relation to the other gender or how to situate themselves there either.
I have a question about that to speak on contemporary issues relating to Drake, I guess, and all of this backlash that's kind of unfolding because of the Metro Boomin Future album, et cetera, you know?
Oh, yeah, I should probably contextualize that these writings are like over 10 years old. So this was during Drake's, it was about nothing. Yeah, nothing was the same. Yeah, so he was writing that Mark Fisher was writing about and kind of reaction to that. But yeah, so a different era on Drake's career. But yeah, go on.
But it's super relevant, I think, because I think that that's been the beauty of Drake, where he's like an incredibly paradoxical person, where he's like at his core misogynistic, but also just very empathetically feminine. Like he can really relate to, appeal to female audiences a lot. But if you kind of listen to his discography and lyrics, it's like a nefarious femininity that's almost like a way to infiltrate and exploit.
It's a sassy man apocalypse.
Yeah, the sassy man apocalypse. But that is funny because it feels like Drake is really good at playing both sides and kind of straddling the gender differences. And what's really funny is just seeing the backlash against him right now, where the entire industry is doing a sort of Marvel movie like kind of attack on him, and he's being iced out by every single major rapper known to man for some reason. I think that's kind of interesting, relating to how people are separating into different gendered camps, like female and male, where it's like in this new reality, people like Drake who straddle both sides like cannot exist. Because yeah, that what struck me is, one more click on the porn and I'll be like your perfect sensitive man. Like that is the core of Drake. It's like he is paradoxical. Like I think he is like, he objectifies women, but like can ultimately like relate to their plight, but also is never going to like betray his own gender in order to, I don't know. But that I feel like is kind of obvious about Drake.
Yeah.
It feels like he's also so permanently trapped between what he wants and what he like actually desires. I don't know. He's so Kendall Roy for that. Like there's just something that's so tortured about him, because I don't know, the whole vibe of like, I have everything I want, but I like can't have you type of thing. Wait, do you want to know something that I saw that was so funny that was like actually a reel by like a millennial that I thought was annoying, but also spoke so much truth to power, is that it was this video that was like millennials versus Gen Z in the club. And millennial, it was like a girl standing and a guy non-verbally raising her up through dance. And it was like an Usher song playing. And he was doing like the kind of Usher thing where you're like making like body waves and kind of, you know, like doing like kind of like
moving your hips.
Yeah, you know? Moving your hips and kind of like snaking towards her with like slidey foot movements and like waves with his arms until he like made his way behind her and like they were really getting it on. And I think that's because that was like a lot of club music then was like so sexual and like so R&B based, and there were like figures like Usher and like swag era Justin Bieber who were like dancing like that.
Mm-hmm. The Dream and like The Game. Well, JP is bringing this back.
Yeah, that's true. JP is bringing it back. I love Justin Timberlake, and I, you know, he was like such a legend at this type of stuff. And then the contrasting like Gen Z in the club example was like the same girl and then the same guy, but I Just Want to Rock was playing, and he was doing the like little dance with the hips, and like visually it all made sense to me, because I was like, these dances that kids know how to do, like they are so, this is like not an original point, but like so one-dimensional and so like directed at camera, and they like don't navigate through space or involve other people. So I think that's also why TikTok Riz Party was kind of cringe, because all the guys are like doing these movements like at each other in a circle. And I don't know, how do we fix this? Like, how do we start dancing sensually with each other again instead of just like doing TikTok dances at each other, which is fun though, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense for their age group, right? Like, I would expect nothing less, because I remember the unspoken gender differences in, you know, high school parties or dances and stuff. But the day after the Silly episode, I had an experience where I literally like went to the TikTok Riz party, like very genuinely, where I was at a club and it was just me and two of my girlfriends, and we were like, had an out of town friend or whatever, but like they started playing Carnival and the exact same thing happened to us, where we were literally like forcibly removed by the groups of men dancing and joining together and basically moshing to the song. And we had to leave because we were like, this is not fun anymore. And I had regretted some of the things I said in the Silly episode, because I was like, maybe this like isn't good. Like, I think it's cool that men are hanging out with each other, but like, this is like no longer fun for me. And like the club, like I had been to it a couple weeks before, and they were just playing like Ariana Grande and stuff. So I was like, something shifted when Carnival dropped. Like, I think it genuinely, that song specifically has some hypnotic Invasion of the Body Snatchers effect on the male.
Yeah, it creates
species.
A gladiator-esque quality too.
Did you guys know that it's Kanye's first number one on the Hot 100 since Stronger in 2007?
Oh, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
I was reading a bit of analysis as to, you know, why is that? And why has he come back so strong after all of his controversies? And the takeaway was basically like, they were like, it sounds obviously like it could be in a stadium. And that really, you know, unlocks something in you that makes you feel really engaged in the song. But then I love reading YouTube comments, guys. But I saw one comment as well on the Carnival music video, which is so weird. It's like a post-apocalyptic scene, multiple scenes of football fans, essentially soccer fans, which reminds me a lot of like the Hillsborough disaster. But anyways, the comment is, the bass is immersive. It's hype AF. It makes me feel like I'm about to fight in the Coliseum. Ye always got some primal shit. Yeah, which made me think about how, like, with the TikTok Riz party and the first level of criticism, which is, oh, these boys look so embarrassing, kind of swaying and moshing together to the song. It's like the boys are really just being boys with this one. Like, I feel like if you are a certain age group, especially, and you're with your boys at a party, and this, your hormones are kind of raging, and this doesn't make you start swaying side to side in a circle, that's like not normal. But also, I agree with you, Sam, that in the wild, it's crazy to experience.
Yeah, it's not as fun to watch video. Like, watching videos of it, I was like, of this taking place, I was like, this is such a positive thing. Like, men should really, like, be relating to each other again, since there was, like, a male loneliness crisis. Like, I'm so happy that they're, like, friends and having fun together. And then in person, I was like, I'm scared. Like, I'm really scared. I'm going to go. Because, like, they were stomping. And, like, it was literally, like, a mosh pit. And I'm like, I am too old to be in mosh pits. Like, I, you know, like, I can't do this anymore. And it makes me concerned, too, yeah, for, like, the dating space. Like, I obviously, like, I'm not in the dating space. I'm not single, and, you know. But it makes me concerned for friends who, if they're going to have an opportunity to meet people in real life, like, in the way that maybe used to exist.
I mean, the like boys' night mobbing is actually an epidemic. It happened at my birthday party. It happened at my friend's birthday party. It happens at like nearly every party I go to, where there's just like some point where like random ass group of guys who no one knows shows up and just like starts moshing and like acting crazy, but like not interacting with anyone. And they're always so like, I don't know, like anonymously dressed. And it's not even like they're ugly or like random. Like, they have all the markers of like a cool, normal young person, but I'm just like, where are they spawning from? What do they want? Like, what's their motive?
I feel like related to this point, it's like men don't care about women when they go out into the nightlife world anymore. Like, the way that men dress is so nondescript. Like, last night, me and my boyfriend went to 36th Street because I needed to do field work, and I wanted, he accompanied me because I was quite frightened. I couldn't do that by myself. But like, yeah, I saw like literally groups of men in like construction uniforms at the club. And I saw men in like gym shorts at the club and in like t-shirts and jeans, and they were not dressed nice. Like, you used to go out and like Dior Sauvage would be like overwhelming you at every turn, you know, because like men were trying. They were really trying to.
Yeah, they need to pull that Jeremy fragrance strip back out.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's also like the old Usher style too. Like, the guys need to start wearing like a super unbuttoned button down and like.
Metrosexual.
I feel like men in the UK are still really good at that for some reason.
Really?
I bet.
Yeah. I don't, well, I, just speaking on a broader level, one time I was at the club in Scarborough, and they still wear the Fred Perry button-ups, and they put on their, like, finest Fred Perry button all the way up, so they're, like, really sharp, and yeah, they kind of still dress for the club.
I feel like it's almost like an inverse class thing, so I feel like it's more common
to dress for the club if you're like working class.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true.
Like, I'm thinking of like Barry Keoghan's 5 dbh and like,
oh yeah, no, that's a good example actually, is like, what would Barry wear to the club? Not, yeah, it's a good kind of reference for, yeah, what I'm talking about, I guess.
Yeah, that's what, with the casualness too, something just, I made a connection where it's, I read this study called Sizing Up the Nightlife, a study on status distinction, where it was a sociologist interviewing a bouncer about what his criteria is for letting people into the club, some very high-end club in New York City. And obviously social networks matter more than social class in these situations. But what's interesting to me is that in her study, she found that women had the privilege of entry, especially if they were dressed casually in jeans or something kind of nonchalant devil may care type thing. I think women dressed more casually back then because they just knew the club was like a space they were going to dominate in no matter what. But it's really funny because the roles are reversed again, where like men are dressing casually and not really caring about what the club is going to be like. And women are dressed sharply at the club at all times, like from my experience.
Yeah, they're doing the slick back bun just to be with some guy in sweats.
Also, this might tie into something about the casual Coachella of it all as well, because happy Coachella weekend, guys. But yeah, just that weird moment last year when it was like about how event dressing had become for the masses. So all the girls that were really actually at the top, like Kendall Jenner and Hailey Bieber, started wearing plain white t-shirts and jean shorts to Coachella.